10, verse 1. And the Bible says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep, and on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come before thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like to the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? And as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. And then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. And he said, Knowest thou whereof I come unto thee? And now I'll return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that beholdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, now I pray you speak to our hearts, and your will be done in our lives. Lord, I pray that you use me, Lord, to preach, and I pray through the preaching of the word that each Christian here, Lord, be encouraged. Lord, be drawn closer to you. And I pray for that one that may be here lost. Today will be the day they call on your name. We'll put all the matters into your hands, Lord, and you have your will and way with us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Ministering Angels. And angels is a topic that I got to thinking about that over the years. I don't know that I've done that much direct preaching on the ministry of angels. And for some reason, the last couple of weeks, it's like that every time I turned around, I was looking at scripture, reading something, looking at my devotion. I was kind of looking at the ministry of angels in the affairs of what takes place on the earth. And I just felt like the Lord was leading me to look at this. And one of the things that we'll see as we go through this, and I kind of talked briefly about it in Sunday school hour this morning, that there's a lot more going on in the world than what meets the eye. There's a lot going on in the affairs. I know men, we all have our little plans and plots and things we think we're going to do. But listen, God's got a plan and God's got an agenda. Satan opposes that plan. And so there's a lot going on between God and Satan. There's a war, actually. There's spiritual warfare that's constantly going on that we don't see that meets the eye. But I want us to look at some things today and see how angels play a part in that and how they play a part in even our lives as individuals. We look here, number one point is Daniel's heart scene, verse 2 and 3 of chapter 10. It says, In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. And I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. At this point in Daniel's life, he's about 84, 85 years old. And, you know, he had been trusting God, I want to say, a long time in his life at this point. I mean, they weren't calling him Christians then, but what we'd call him today, he'd been a Christian a long time, been trusting God a long time. He'd been carried to Babylon as a captive when he was a young teen, and he had lived through several administrations of kings that had taken over Babylon. But we see in our text one thing right off the bat, that Daniel's a praying man. He's a praying man. And God had given him a gift to interpret dreams. It talked about that. And one of the things that we think about when we pray, I know when we go to the men's prayer advance, ladies' prayer advance, the same way, they have a time called the sweet hour of prayer. And you know, a lot of times we think, boy, if I had an hour to pray, what am I going to pray about for an hour? And they give you a list, actually, to kind of help guide you along. But I think about this. I want you to see one thing. Daniel was an intercessor. He did intercessory prayer. And most of what Daniel prayed about didn't have to do with himself. And most of what Daniel was praying about was praying for other people. He had a burden for his people. I mean, that's just, he had a burden for his people, and he had a burden for God's work. I mean, these are the things that he really prayed about. About the year before, 50,000 Jews were allowed to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple under one of the kings that they had now, which was a blessing. I mean, that was a blessing. It was a great thing. They were able to go back. But what happened was they started rebuilding the temple, and this is another story. It's another great preaching place, but they started rebuilding the temple, and they were opposed. You know, you always get opposed doing God's work. And what happened, because of the opposition, fear took over, and they stopped working on the temple. And so Daniel knew about that, and he was praying about it. He had a burden for God's people. He had a burden for God's work. And you know, when we get down and really get serious about it, listen, there's a lot to pray about. There's a lot to pray about, a lot more than our physical problems, our sicknesses, and all those things that we have personally, just in the realm of what God's got going on and what's going on in the world today. Listen, there's plenty to be praying about. And he said he fasted and he prayed. He didn't eat for 3 weeks. Now, it wasn't a thing where he said, listen, I'm just not going to eat for 3 weeks and that's going to do something. What it was, he had such a burden that for 3 weeks he didn't feel like eating. All he wanted to do was pray, because he was so burdened for God and for the work of the Lord. You know, one day when we get to heaven, we're going to find out to the extent at which things got done on earth that God wanted to get done because of the prayers of some of the people of God. I think things get done or don't get done on earth at particular times because of either the praying or the lack of praying by God's people. And, you know, we ought to get serious. I told the church Wednesday night in our Wednesday night Bible study, our Wednesday night crowd is smaller than this usually, and you know, I was talking to them. I said, you know, if this group, this small group of people, if we would just really get on fire from God, with God, man, Daniel was just one man. And if we took a group of people, if we really got our hearts set on the things of God and got serious about praying and got on fire for God, what we could do would really be what God was would do. You know, God could do anything, but God works through people. And God wants, you know, some obedient, faithful people. I know that. And he wants some people. But, I mean, man, you know, when we get down there and really started to pray, and I'm not talking about those weak, shallow prayers that we pray a lot of time that are repetitive. They sound like the same prayer over and over and over again to you and everybody else. And they sound like the same thing to God. You know, we know the right things. I mean, I'm talking about when you have a burden and when you really get serious about prayer. There's a place, there's a text in the Bible I wanted to look at. I've used it before, but there's a place in the New Testament there in Matthew chapter 17, there where the disciples themselves were powerless, and Jesus told them the reason was because of their lack of prayer. Now, these were apostles, most of them. The apostles had power. God had given them power to raise the dead, heal the sick. They could heal the blind. They could cure leprosy. Man, they could do all kinds of things. They had the power to do it. But look what it said in the text in Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. It said that when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. And for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples of Jesus and said apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. So for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, what he's saying, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. They said, how come we couldn't cast that devil out? Now listen, all of it, you know, this is a small instance, but listen, there's God's work, and the devil is opposing everything God does. And so, you know, it's our will. Everybody say, listen, are y'all willing that people get saved? We're all willing that people get saved, right? But how many people we getting saved? Why? This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. See, because a lost person's really under devil's control. They may not be possessed in the same sense here, but they're under devil's control. Why are they not getting saved? I'm going to tell you what, because we're not serious about praying about lost people. We're not serious about it. Lord, I'm going to tell you what, it's a scary thing to say, get up every morning and say, Lord, give me one person to witness to today. You know why I don't want to say that? Because you're afraid God's going to answer. God's going to give you somebody, and then you're going to be afraid. Then you're going to be afraid to speak to them, and then you're going to be afraid of failure, and you're going to be all the fears that you got. I won't know what to say. I won't know what to do. He might not trust the Lord. They might not trust the Lord. Hey, I just said, Lord, just give me one to witness to. I didn't say, Lord, I had to win them to Christ. Just give me one to witness to. But that's a scary thing. I mean, to be serious about it. You know, God doesn't answer all our prayers, does he? We pray amiss a lot of times, the Bible says. But I'm going to tell you what, you get up in the morning and say, Lord, you give me somebody today. And I mean, be serious. Say, Lord, give me somebody to witness to today. Guarantee. God will give it to you. God will answer that prayer. He'll give it to you if you pray it. And so we're not seeing that book in the book of Acts, 3,000 souls a day were getting saved. Why? Because they had a great preacher? No, they didn't have a great preacher. If you look at Peter's preaching, Peter's messages are in the Bible. They're okay. They're doctrinally correct. They're not long. I'll be longer than he is. Amen. Y'all wish Peter's preaching when I get done. But you know what? He preached to them. But you know why 3,000 people got saved? Because all the rest of the Christians were out there living the life of Christ and witnessing and telling people and praying about souls, man. And that's what happened. So there they were. And if we got serious about it, he said, look, serious prayer and fasting were required. 3 weeks, the Bible says that Daniel fasted and prayed. And I'm going to tell you something. He heard from God. A lot of times we pray, and I know every one of you here, my pastor used to always say this. He said, I pray and wouldn't feel like my prayers got past the ceiling in the room. Didn't hear from God, didn't think God heard my prayer. Fast and pray for 3 weeks, and I bet you'll think God heard your prayer. And I'm going to tell you what, he saw God too. Look, we see Christ on the scene. When we get back in our text in Daniel chapter 10, in verse 5, it said, he lifted up his eyes, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz, and his body also was like the beryl, and his face appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and feet like the color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. I and a lot of other theologians believe that's a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. If you go to the book of Revelation in chapter 1 and you'll see John's description of Jesus Christ, it's almost exactly the same when he saw the glorified Christ as that there. And there's times, listen, when the Lord, we'll get to the angels in a little bit, but the Lord sends angels. There's time when Christ himself appears on the scene. And he appeared several times in the Old Testament. He wrestled with Jacob out in the wilderness there one night, and he appeared on the scene right here, and he shows up, and Daniel saw him there. John saw him, Daniel saw him. Their reaction to him was the same. So I believe that it's a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Usually he appears in a fashion that's compatible with the circumstances. To Abraham, Christ appeared as Abraham was a pilgrim, and Christ appeared as a traveler. To Jacob, he was a schemer. Christ came as a wrestler. To Joshua, before he attacked Jericho, he came as a captain of the Lord's armies. To Daniel in Babylon, and John on the Isle of Patmos, he appeared as the glorified king priest. I was thinking about that, why that applied to their circumstance. And Daniel had been in captivity almost all his life. He was a teenager. He's in his 80s now, so 65, 70 years of his life he had been in captive in Babylon. John had been in the New Testament. John had been banned to the Isle of Patmos, and he'd been on the Isle of Patmos about 12 years when he got the revelation from God. See, there are sometimes when the Lord, we've got angels that are doing things for us, but there's sometimes when Christ himself, and what we need to see more than anything is a picture of Christ still on the throne. We need to know, there's times in your life that you need to know that Christ is still on the throne. And that's why I think he appeared at that point right there and at that time to let them know that listen, God's still in control. And there's times of stress and doubt and wonder, and we don't understand those things. We need a vision of the glorified Christ. Daniel didn't see, another little side note is Daniel didn't see that vision early in his ministry, but it was near the end of a long, faithful life. Daniel was a faithful guy. Daniel's one of the few guys in the Bible, there's not anything negative said about him. Where he didn't have a sin that, I mean, he wasn't perfect. We know he wasn't, but that we don't have any of his sins recorded. Him and Joshua, there's nothing said about their life but it was after a long, faithful life. The Bible says in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There's a price to pay. The price to pay is faithfulness, consistency, and dedication. Those people get a vision from God. Warren Wiersbe said, spiritual leaders often see what others can't see and hear what they fail to hear. They must stand when others flee and must receive God's message even if it makes them feel weak and helpless. And then we see there was angels on the scene. Point number three, and angels on the scene in Daniel chapter 10, verse 10. Right on down, read through there. We see that Daniel was touched after the appearance of Christ. In verse 10, he said, behold, a hand touched me, and there's another one, which set me up upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. Daniel was weak after he saw the vision of the pre-incarnate Christ, and now he's touched by an angel. And it goes on and talks about that, and down in the last little part of the verse there, he talks about the prince of Persia and the prince of Grecia, which Satan counterfeits everything that God does, so Satan has his angels on the scene as well. And the Bible says a lot about it. You know, I looked at that, and a lot of people have misunderstandings about angels. I was at a funeral the other day, and they had people stood up and spoke about some things, and they said, oh, well, you know, God's got another angel. Listen, we don't become angels when we die. God, angels are created beings. They're always referred to in the male as a male. You know, we always get angels. You ever get the little Christmas ornaments and all those things? Again, they're always females, aren't they? In the Bible, they're always males. Always an angel he. Always an angel he. It's never an angel she. We don't turn into angels. We're saints. We'll be saints in heaven. God had angels. They're created beings. They were able to take the form of humans. And most always were males when they did that as well. You know, God created them and he uses them to assist us to fight Satan and his angels. And of course we know when Satan fell, Satan was an angel. He fell, he took a third of the host of heaven, the Bible says, with him, and now that's the demons, and that's his crowd. He's using those, and God, so he's got his group, and God's got his group. And listen, there's a war going on between God and his angels and his saints, and Satan and his angels, or demons, against God's saints. There's a war going on. We don't always see that. And did you ever wonder about this? Where do I fit in the scheme? We talked about it in Sunday school. Where I fit in the scheme of this battle that God's got going on against Satan? And you might think, well, I don't fit in it at all. No, you fit in it. You fit in it. And if you don't, God wants you to be in it. And we're in it one way or the other. But there's a lot of angels in the Bibles. We were studying in Daniel, I said, on Wednesday night. And last week we were talking about it when Darius had had to put Daniel in the den of lions, got tricked into making a decree that nobody could pray to any god, and Daniel, he wouldn't compromise, and he got thrown into the den of lions. A den of lions has lions in it. Makes it dangerous. And the Bible says an angel of the Lord, Darius, went the next morning and asked Daniel, you all right? He liked him. Daniel said, I'm okay. He said, God sent an angel. Shut the lions' mouths that they didn't mean a harm. And you know, people say, well, maybe they weren't hungry. Well, they were hungry because when they threw the other people down in there, said they break their bones before they ever hit the bottom of the pit. So, I mean, there was a lion, their mouth was closed by an angel. God sent angels to take Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah when God was about to pass judgment on it. Gabriel appeared to Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, telling him about the birth of his son. Gabriel also appeared to Mary about the birth of Jesus. An angel appeared to Joseph, assuring him that the child was of the Holy Ghost. And an angel rolled away the stone from the tomb of Jesus. Hey, God could have done it, but he sent an angel to do it. Why? I don't know. Just the way God wanted to do it. He sent an angel. It says an angel rolled the stone away. The Bible tells us also that we have entertained angels unawares. Now that's got your head scratching, doesn't it? Man, I've entertained an angel unawares. I wonder when that was. Hopefully you entertained him in a good way. Hopefully you treated him right, but you don't know. The Bible talks about this. Peter was, in the New Testament, remember Peter was locked in prison? The Bible says an angel came, opened up the prison doors, got the things off of him, and let him out of the prison. Let him right out. Angels in the Bible. Angels are in the world. Angels, they're unseen. And the next point, there's an unseen war. It says in verse 13 of our text, it said this, in verse 12, it says, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before God." Remember that? The Bible said he'd been praying and fasting for 3 weeks. He prayed. Now, how many of you ever prayed and didn't get an answer for your prayer? Now, sometimes the answer is no, but we just don't take no for an answer, so we keep on with it. But sometimes we pray. And we don't get an answer right away. It doesn't seem like it. Says here, he said, I've heard it the first day, from the first day you chastened thyself before God, meaning fast and pray. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. In other words, I've got the answer. But look what he said in verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia. You know who the prince of the kingdom of Persia is? That's one of Satan's angels. One of Satan's angels. He's got his, see, and apparently when you study this a little deeper, what it is that Satan has apparently got some angels that he has set up as princes or whatever over territories that he is trying to wrestle away from God's program and God's purpose. And God's got his angels that are going and are having, there's opposition, there's a spiritual battle going on. He said, I heard it. He said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. This is another angel came. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. And that, so now he's come with the answer. What he's saying, listen, there's angels that are assigned to the saints as well. Look in verse 21. It says, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Michael the archangel. He said, your prince. That means that apparently we've got an assigned angel. Isn't that something? I wonder why God doesn't tell us, you know, and I thought about that. Listen, God doesn't want us praying to angels. God doesn't want us worshiping angels. All worship belongs to God. All our prayers belong to God. I think that's the reason why we don't know who our angel is. I don't think God wants you to know because God don't want you worshiping that, the angel. But apparently we've got one that he watches over us and does some things, and Satan's trying to get to us. And so Daniel's prayers had heard. The prayers were delayed because there was a battle going on. A demon assigned to that area. So Daniel had been really, was in a spiritual conflict and he didn't know it. Now see, a lot of times we're so passive in our Christianity. And there's verses, and I'll refer to them later, about putting on the whole armor of God, but there's a reason. You know, you don't put on armor unless you're going into a battle, right? Huh? Them nights in the olden days, we watch a lot of TVs where we get our visuals from. Those knights, they didn't wear that armor around year, you know, all the time. They wore it when they went into battle. But our problem is a lot of times in Christianity, see, we're real passive and casual. And we think, number one, we think, I know God's got a big thing going on. But I'm not in part of that. I'm not part of it. It's for somebody else. Somebody else's. Daniel's and Noah's and Moses's and all those big guys. Listen, they weren't big guys. They weren't big. They were only big in their faith. That's why God used them. But there's a spiritual warfare that's going on in the world right now. And if you just open your eyes and back, man, just look at the sign of the times that's going on. Man, every time you turn around, there's another state that's allowing things like same-sex marriage. And they're taking, you know, more. God is trying to get, is taken out, and immoral and satanic stuff is put in. And it's a nonstop battle. that's going on. Now, how does God, you know, we fight the battles this way. Daniel prayed serious prayer. And see, right now we're passive because, well, it's not really affecting us that much. I mean, our big deal is you know, we like our physical health. We'd like for the gas prices to be lower. We'd like more money on our paycheck, you know, those things. But listen, wait till when it starts really getting serious and you're taken into captivity and your nation is destroyed and you're carried off somewhere else and you're, well, I bet your prayers get a lot more serious. Your prayers get a lot more serious. And I'm going to tell you, if you could get a vision, if we get to the spiritual side, if you could get a vision of your loved ones in hell or on their way there, don't you think you'd be real serious in prayer? You mom and dads with your children, how serious you'd be about the prayers for your children and your spouses and those things. You know, listen, there's warfare. And Satan will do everything he can to keep you from praying. Huh? As Daniel prayed, listen, and God was sending an answer. God was sending an answer, and Satan was opposed to that answer getting to Daniel. Satan didn't want that answer to get to Daniel, an answer to that prayer. Don't you think God's got something for us, and Satan doesn't want us to get it? Well, you got to pray. Man, that's what's going on. One of my favorite passages in all the Bible. I love this right here. This really describes it good. The unseen thing, but it's in 2 Kings chapter number 6, and it's Elisha, the prophet at Dothan. And the king of Syria had been trying to kill him, and they were looking for him, and they found out that Elisha was at Dothan. And Elisha was just had a one servant with him, and the king of Syria had sent a whole army like looking for him. And it said in verse 13, and he said, "Go and spy where he is," this is the king speaking, "that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he," talking about Elisha, "is at Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host." So he sent a whole army to get him. "And they came by night and compassed the city round about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed about the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, how shall we do?' And it says, he answered," speaking about Elisha, "he answered, 'Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see.' And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." Man, don't that just make your hair just stand up on? I got goosebumps. Woo, huh? Elisha said, "Listen, let him see what I see. I know it." He said, "There's more on our side than on their side. The king of Syria had sent an army, and when they got there, they looked at the city of Dothan, and nobody else could see it, but they saw it. They saw a multitude of chariots and fire protecting Elisha, and they stopped. We can't go any farther." No, Elisha's servant, he is sweating the load. He's like us, man. He said, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" Elisha said, "Don't worry about it." He said, "Lord, go ahead and open his eyes. Just let him get a little glimpse of. Let him get a little look at the angels out there. Let him just see." He opened up his eyes. He said, "Huh? Hey, nothing to worry about." And you know, I wonder about it. Listen, as far as I know, I've never seen anything. Might have entertained one unawares, but I was unawares. Satan may have tried to kill me, and Satan may have tried to kill you today, but who knows that there wasn't an angel with a flaming sword standing there? Huh? Hey, man, I mean, that's unbelievable. Huh? That's good stuff. I'd like to see it. Huh? Maybe I almost spend 3 days fasting and praying. Maybe God will say, "Hey, listen, open up his eyes. Open up his eyes and let's see it." But maybe we ought to pray that. God, open up our eyes. Listen, there's something going on here. It's more than the, and I don't want to say this and make you feel bad. I don't know what word I want to use, but listen, our lives really, in the scope of what's going on between Satan and God, our lives are petty. Petty. Huh? Worrying about hangnails and all that. Listen, man, there's a big spiritual battle that's constantly going on, and Satan is looking for souls. He don't want people to get saved. And before you got saved, don't you think Satan threw everything he had to keep you from getting saved? But God had an angel there with a flaming sword, huh? And got him there. Listen, God had killed you. Satan would have killed you today before you got here, if he could have. For some reason, he couldn't. It had to be them angels, right? It had to be. I mean, there was God stopped it all. We got a responsibility. I said this, we're not to worship angels, and we're not to pray to angels, and probably that's why God didn't let us see them. Just guessing there. But our responsibility, the Bible says this, is to put on the whole armor of God, which comes with faith and prayer and Bible and, you know, the Word of God. Man, when Satan came and tempted Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus answered him every time, Word of God. Satan said one thing, Jesus gave him the Word of God. Word of God, Word of God. Just defeated him. It's a war. Listen, the power of prayer. The neglect of prayer is why churches and individual believers are so weak and defeated. Jesus had said, listen, those demonic forces, and listen, that same demonic force is in opposition. It's in opposition to Valley View Baptist Church. Amen. It's in opposition to you as an individual Christian. It's in opposition. There, Satan and his, he is in opposition to everything God does. Everything. How come they couldn't cast that demonic force out? He said, prayer and fasting. You're weak right here. These are the apostles. He said, your prayer life is weak. He said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, how many of you ever seen a mustard seed? You don't even know you got a mustard seed if you only got one. I mean, it's just a speck. He said, if our faith was that big, he said, remove that mountain into the sea. If God was willing. You know, because when you got faith the grain of a mustard seed, your prayers would probably be more on track with what God has for you. If we had, and we're not doing that. We're not, and you know, you say, boy, casting a mountain, and that illustration, casting a mountain into the sea is just, you know, putting a mountain in, it just means an impossible task. We're not doing nothing impossible. Everything we do right now is possible. Huh? We're doing possible things. This church service is possible. We can do it without God. Huh? We can sing without God. We can do everything without God. But it's not accomplishing anything in the purpose of God. He said, prayer and fasting, prayer and fasting. Everybody thinks, man, fasting is not a popular topic in churches. Huh? We got prayer and eating, right? We used to have fellowship, Wednesday night fellowship dinner. Maybe we ought to have Wednesday night fellowship fasting. There's more about fasting talking about than dinner in the Bible. Listen, we don't want to hear talk about it. They say, oh, well, I've had people say, oh, preacher, as soon as you miss it, oh, preacher, fasting just an option. It's, you know, God's not commanding me to do it. He said right there, this kind cometh not forth out, but by prayer and fasting. He didn't say it was an option, right? He said, you know, you got to get, that means you're serious about something. Man, how many of you have been so upset about something? Maybe a death, a sickness, you know, and you don't feel like eating. See, when we get that upset about the condition of things in our spiritual life, our own spiritual life first, and the condition of the world and the plan of God and all that's going, when we get so upset we can't eat, then we're on the right track. Amen. We have prayer and fasting. The battle's not over. In verse 20, it said this angel had to return. He said that, get my back in the right text. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 20, he said, then he said, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. He said, listen, man, the battle's not over. I'm going to have to fight the prince of Persia. When he's gone, the prince of Greece is coming. The angel, the satanic angel that's over top of those areas. He said, I'm going to have to fight with him. Daniel's prince was Michael, an archangel. He's an archangel. He was a higher angel. He said, your prince, Michael. I don't know what to tell you about. The Bible doesn't say that much more about as far as who's our angel and all those things. I just know that God's got his angels and they're to help fulfill his plan in the world. And they are watching out for us and they're shutting lions' mouths and they're opening up doors and they're putting protection around about folks. I'll give you just one illustration. I think I was going to use it tonight, but I'll use it today. And there was this missionary, and I can't think of his name. I wrote it down in my notes. Probably it's in my book there, but forgot his name. Patton. His last name was Patton. Him and his wife were on an island and had tribes people on it back several years back, way back. Anyway, the people, they had gone there, missionaries. They were missionaries, and they were trying to witness. And the tribes people became more and more hostile to their missionary efforts. And finally, the hostility had reached a peak that the tribes people had decided they were going to kill him. And they started one night as his wife and him and his wife were sitting on the porch of their home. They heard the music and they heard noise and they saw torches coming. And they went all the way around them. And he just prayed. His wife said, "What are we going to do?" She said, "They're going to kill us. They're coming to kill us. They've had it." He said, "Just pray, 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 pray." Well, they prayed, 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 prayed. They said it wasn't long after all of a sudden they noticed that the sound started going farther and farther and farther away. Nothing happened. About 3 months later, they led the chief of that tribe to the Lord. And they asked the missionary, Brother Patton, he could not resist. He asked the tribe, he said, "Listen," he said, "I want to ask you something." He said, "You know, about 3 months ago," he said, "one night y'all came and we thought you were going to kill us and everybody surrounded us." And he said, "But nothing happened." And the missionary said, "What happened?" The chief said, "Hey," he said, "we were coming to kill you." He said, but your guards wouldn't let us." He said, "Guards?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "They were all big." He said, "They were wearing shiny garments," and he said, they had flaming swords in their hands, and they were all around you. He said, "We couldn't get near you." He said, "We left." They didn't know. They didn't know anything about it. Huh? Listen, God's got his angels. God's got his angels, and God protects his people. Listen, there's no complacency in war. There's no complacency in war. If we were on a battlefield right now and there were bullets flying by, don't you think we'd be a little more, I don't know about you, man, but I'd be, I don't know what, tense or whatever the word may be. You know, really, bombs going on. We'd be intense. Might be some, you know, they always say there's no atheist in a foxhole, right? We'd be praying. Amen. I'm going to say that we are in a war. We're in a war. We're in a war zone, and it's worldwide. It's a spiritual battle that's taking place. There's no complacency. You know, believers, as believers and Christians, a lot of times, you know, we want to win the war, but nobody wants to get in the fight. Everybody wants folks to get saved, but nobody wants to take the gospel to them. I want you to see this last thing in closing. A lazy man didn't see Christ, didn't see the pre-incarnate Christ. It was a praying man. It was a praying man. It was a serious praying man. He was a man with a burden, and he did something about it, and he got a vision from God. If we're not seeing God do anything, maybe the problem's, I know the problem's not with God, maybe the problem's with us. Amen? Listen, we need to get serious about the warfare that's taking place and understand that God and Satan are in this battle. And listen, we are in the battle. Whether you want to be or not, we are in it. And we're either getting defeated and we're dragging around, we're allowing Satan to defeat us, or else, listen, we're getting with God and we're praying, we're helping on the victorious side of things. Amen? Let's all stand with our heads bowed.